Paul Redier, the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Folks, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor. But the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five. My daughter Emily in studio with me, and she's a good reason why I am on the air. Lots of concerns these days, but first, Dave, I was at the Republican caucus for the first time in my life last Tuesday. And what an experience, man. I've never done this before in my life. Just sat there with, 16, 18 other guys and gals. Actually, there were more women involved than men. That was the first thing I noticed. A lot of women involved. The men are pretty much inactive as far as involvement right now, at least on the local level, from what I can tell.
So the Republican Party is a party of women now.
Well, I think politics is more and more a party of women. And, of course, there are more women in law school today than men. So you're going to see women ruling over the next, I think, 20 to 30 years in our country's future. But here's what's interesting about this Republican caucus. Everybody wanted big government. They wanted big government services. That's the kind of thing they were talking about. But they also wanted less taxes. So they want big government and less taxes. More for less.
They wanted a Walmart government.
Yeah, I want a Walmart government, basically. But they wanted big government more than they wanted less taxes, so that's why you're going to be paying more taxes, Dave.
I'm going to pay more taxes?
Just wanted to bring you the bad news, yeah.
So they can pave a road out here or something?
Yep. Now, I don't think anybody is really self-conscious of their worldviews. I don't think anybody knows what they believe. In fact, for the most part, nobody really wanted to talk about anything controversial, because, you know, if you talk about something controversial, you got to have relationships with people, you got to have real community. It does not exist. That does not exist today.
Uh-uh. Not even out here in Elbert?
No, not even out here in Elbert County. And, of course, this is a very rural county. But you don't have that kind of relationship where you can deal with religious issues or political issues or controversial issues. People want to stay away from those sorts of things. In other news, U.S. taxpayers are lending Westinghouse Electric Company almost $5 billion to build nuclear power plants in China. Dave, China, they have the right worldview, don't they?
Yeah, socialism, communism, Mao.
Yeah, they've always had a good worldview. And these are the good guys, right? We are building nuclear power plants and lending Westinghouse $5 billion to do the job. We're doing this in China because China are the good guys. They would never do anything bad to us, right? I mean, I'm convinced of this, right? I mean, George W. Bush said so, and so did Clinton. And so far, no one in the U.S. government is showing any interest in scrutinizing the sale over the transfer of nuclear power technology. Haven't we been doing this with the terrorists out in Dubai as well?
The Dubai ports deal. Yeah. We kind of kiboshed that because we're afraid that maybe they would use their port contracts to bring in things that could harm us.
That could really hurt our people. Well, I don't know. Maybe they are good guys. Maybe they are good guys. Maybe all of the terrorists are really good guys and they wouldn't hurt us anymore. And you know the Chinese communists? I hear they don't persecute Christians anymore, as of yesterday.
And maybe they've dropped that world domination thing from their whole platform.
Yeah. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just going through the news today and trying to figure out why we do the things that we do, and it may be because we don't have any worldview operating at all. Have you seen the Warner Brothers sitcom Reba?
No.
Reba. It's Reba McEntire is the star of this program. It's a bright and sunny depiction of broken American families. Bright and sunny, I would add.
Isn't that special?
It is very special. Apparently, Reba McEntire is living happily next door to her ex-husband and his second wife. And now the second wife is going after Reba's on-and-off-again new boyfriend. It's a real mess. But it is...
It's a documentary?
It's a sitcom. It's a sitcom. No, I don't think it's a documentary. But there's also another HBO series coming out called Big Love. Big Love. Now, you never guess what this is about.
This is about obese people getting married.
No. It's about polygamy. That was close. There was no cigar today. It's about polygamy. This guy is married to three wives, and it's complete with an all-star cast. It's got snappy lines, intriguing plot lines, the whole nine yards. Apparently, they're sort of hoping that this polygamy show will pave the way for homosexual marriage shows.
and the rest. But if you contrast Reba and Big Love, and I want to do that for just a minute. What's the difference between Reba and Big Love? Reba, of course, being the fornication, adultery kind of serial marriage. You know, you got this marriage, that marriage, this marriage, that marriage, and then you get some confusion of marriages, and then et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so that's the Reba plot. Then you've got Big Love over here, where you've got a polygamy thing going on, which is, shall we say, just parallel relationships. Okay, you got sort of the serial messed up situation over here, and for the polygamy show, you got the parallel marriage. Now, I guess my question is, which is worse? I just want to ask the ethical question today. Which is worse, Reba or Big Love? Is a lifestyle of fornicating, divorce, and adultery worse than polygamy, where one man stays with two or three wives for 30 years? Which is worse? Ladies and gentlemen, polygamy is back. It's back in the United States. It's on the web. There are Christian sects all over the place practicing it these days. It's coming back, and it's coming back on HBO. We'll be back in just a moment. My name's Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. Folks, we're back. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and today, polygamy. Polygamy is on HBO. It's a new program called Big Love, and evidently, polygamy is growing right now as a trend in the United States. The last time it was prosecuted was back in 1953. This was in Arizona, where the Arizona National Guard raided a polygamous colony called Short Creek on the Utah-Arizona border, separated the kids from the mothers, and threw the men in jail. The people of the nation were outraged about it, so they have not been prosecuting polygamy cases ever since. In fact, there are now strong efforts afloat to decriminalize polygamy, even as we have done the homosexuality. And right now, there is nobody really prosecuting polygamy. And what they do is polygamists practice polygamy by having only one official wife. And you see, because adultery is no longer a crime in America, nobody really cares whether or not somebody's shacking up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 10, 15, 20 doesn't really matter anymore. Now, the founder of the Mormon Church was Joseph Smith. And Joseph Smith had 50 wives. This was probably the major influx of polygamy into America. It was by way of the Mormon Church. Now, the Mormon Church has condemned it and does not practice it much anymore. There are something like 3% of the Mormon Church that may practice it. But there are an estimated 100,000 Americans today practicing polygamy. It's always been fairly big in Islam. And it's increasingly popular among certain Christian sects, many of them homeschoolers. Yes, you heard me right. Home educators are finding that polygamy may be an appropriate way to live life. And many of them have a very conservative look about them. Of course, they, you know, wear the dresses, the long dresses, and looking very, very pious and very, very Christian-like, I guess, on the outside. So there is a little bit of a Christian flavor among some of these polygamous sects.
Well, you can mix a little bit of something with something else and make it look like something, but
that
doesn't mean it's genuine.
We've been whitewashing tombs since days immemorial, haven't we? And most certainly you can establish a crust, a very thin crust of Christianity, and yet the core may be eaten out by paganism. And effectively, polygamy is a pagan practice. The history of polygamy begins with Lamech. You remember Lamech, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, he had two wives.
Oh, yeah, he's a murderer, too. He's a murderer and a polygamist. He was the first polygamist, had two wives. And he came from the line of Cain, who was basically the kingdom of men, and Lamech being one of the most evil men of the pre-fall era. Well, that was the founder of polygamy. He was a pagan. And in pagan polygamous cultures, women typically do most of the work. And as cultures get increasingly pagan, men just fight each other in sort of this tribal warfare. So as the women do the work, they seek out protection from the most powerful man around. You know, the big chiefs always had the big harems, right? That was always the way it was in pagan tribes. And even to this day, the majority of the world still accepts polygamy. You know, if you talk about Africa, some of the larger, most populated nations still accept the practice of polygamy. Well,
this occurs because the pagan view of the world always prefers power to relationships. Pagans build their kingdoms on these power structures, whether it be huge, you know, empires or local tribal kingdoms. And they typically gather more control and more power by marrying more wives. And what did Solomon do? Remember what Solomon did?
Solomon had many, many wives and many concubines, which were sort of like wives, but not official wives. So he had a whole stable full of women. I don't know how, if he knew all their names.
Yeah. And yet he did that to achieve more power. So the pagan system is very power-based. And I think there are a lot of guys that are seeking multiple wives to achieve a little bit of a kingdom for themselves, a power center for themselves. Now, the biblical system is not based on power. It's based on relationship. And Christian counterfeits tend to move towards polygamy because they reject the concept of relationship. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that Jesus said the two will become one, right? That God created man and woman, and the two will become one. He never said the three will become one, right? In fact, if you think about it, the three do not become one, even in polygamous practice, unless you got some kind of a grotesque conception of oneness or marriage. It's impossible. The three do not become one. How could two women be part of the one? It's impossible. Even intuitively, people know that's impossible. This is not happening. So if a polygamist attends a family life marriage conference, we're going to talk about unity today. You're going to talk about a unity in your family today. You're going to talk about unity in your marriage today. What is he going to talk about? He's going to learn how to improve his marriages, relationships, is? Not going to happen. Because there isn't oneness. There can't be a oneness. The family's oneness is eroded. And Dave, isn't that what happened to Jacob?
That is what happened to Jacob. And you know what? I have an uncle who was a missionary to China, actually to Taiwan. And he told me that there is a symbol in the Chinese language of what basically is a house with two characters representing a man and a woman. And that's the symbol for peace. And there's one with three characters, which is the symbol for conflict.
Even the pagans understand this. They understand it. It's impossible to have relationship. But you know why? You know why the world pagans reject the concept of relationship? They always go for these power-based systems. You know why? It's because they don't want relationship, because God is eternally relational. Think about it, Dave. Islam and Mormonism, the two sects, spin-offs, effectively, of Christianity. But the two spin-offs of Christianity, Mormonism and Islam, established polygamy and put their okay on polygamy. And yet, what are they? They're not Trinitarian. They're Unitarian. That is, the Mormons and the Islam religions do not believe in an eternally relational God who existed from all eternity in relationship. That's why they go to polygamy, because they can't stand the concept of relationship, the two becoming one. They don't want the two to become one. They want the three to become three. They want the three to become three. Ladies and gentlemen, polygamy has a bad record, a really bad record. But let's talk about the two becoming one, because I think that's where we're going today on this program. Dave, this is really about relationships. And, you know, men don't like relationships. But God's system is based on relationships. God wants a marriage relationship. And tell me how this REBA program is presenting the concept of relationship. In and out of marriage, divorce, fornication, divorce again, adultery, then some more fornication, then some divorce, all operating in serial. Tell me how that is cultivating a godly oneness in a marriage relationship.
Well, clearly, the program like that is presenting a relationship that exists for a very temporal slice of time, that we can be in relationship when we feel like it, and then we can move to the next. So it is a very covenant-breaking idea. It is not one that sees eternity as anything but a series of feelings and a series of experiences that we stack one after another. And when the experience isn't to our liking, well, let's go find a different one.
We've talked about this before, that we take relationship out of reproduction. We take relationship out of the marriage situation. We take relationship out of education. We take relationship out of everything. This is the tendency of modern man. He is lost, he has abandoned truth, and he's lonely. He's abandoned relationship. But God's system involves the cultivation of a marriage relationship, of a father-son relationship, of a brother-sister relationship in the church. And, you know, even in the church, you don't hear people calling themselves brothers and sisters much anymore. Instead of hospitality, instead of brother-sister relationships, you've got relationship, you have a system of seminars and programs and top-down bureaucratic welfare systems through the civil government. Instead of a loving, dedicated, faithful marriage between one man and one woman for 50 years, what do you get? You get divorce, polygamy, homosexuality, adultery, fornication. Instead of the father-son relationships, what do we have? We have professional educators, peer groups, MTV, video games. You don't find close-knit father-son, mother-daughter, father-daughter relationships cultivated much today, do you, Dave?
No, you don't find much commitment to a relationship in any relationship. People jump from church to church. They jump from job to job, from marriage to marriage. We have children with their father 1 week and with their mother the next week. Where is relationship there?
They shy away from relationship because I tell you what, Dave, as I've gotten into relationship, first of all, I see all my sin. All right? Have I mentioned that a few times on this program? I think so. I see my sin. But when you get into relationship, you've got to get into things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, humility, temperance. You know, you get these sorts of things. And people shy away from that. They don't want long-suffering. They don't want to forgive. They want to keep their own bitterness. They want to stay away from relationship because it involves sacrifice. Think about what a husband has to do for a wife. He has to sacrifice his life for that wife, not for his wives. They're not there to satisfy his lusts and his discontentment and his seeking out for power. His wife is there such that he will sacrifice his life for that woman.
Not only do you deal with your own sin, you get to deal with other people's sin, which makes it even more difficult. Because you have to long, when we say long-suffering, you're suffering for a reason. You're suffering because there's sin in both parties here. But how are you going to have security as a person if you're being rejected constantly, one relationship after another? How are you going to have confidence to take dominion if even the people closest to you are constantly telling you you're not good enough for them to love you? How are you going to have a good view of God if your father has rejected you? This is a breakdown of all of society. This is removing the glue that holds everything together.
We're getting down to fundamental issues today, folks, on Generations. The issue is relationships. Relationships takes time to cultivate. It takes transparency, as Dave just mentioned. We've got to be open and transparent to each other and pull our chests out and let people see ourselves for who we really are. And we have to be able to confess our sins to one another, be able to see our sins, and then be able to confront one another and the sins that they are producing in their lives. God expects us to be able to get close to each other, and it takes time for that to happen. The world wants to take that away. They don't want us to spend the time and open ourselves up transparently to the close ones in our lives because the world doesn't want to get close.
No, the world doesn't want to be close. And really, the answer to this is to cultivate that marriage relationship. It is for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. It's for wives to submit to their husbands, even as the church is to submit to Christ.
Dave, you know, this close relationship is a rejoicing relationship. This is a good thing. As we get closer, we get a better relationship, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Proverbs lays it out so beautifully for us. It says, "Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love." And you know, the word enraptured doesn't give justice to the thought there of Hebrew. I mean, it is to be consumed and delighted with the wife of your youth.
And that's
the
singular.
Celebrated.
And that's the singular. The wife of your youth, not the wives of your youth.
And not your young wife.
Yeah, it's the wife of your youth, the one who has been with you all these years. Yes, you've been married 25, 30, 35 years, but you've cultivated that relationship. You've confessed sin. You've gotten transparent. and you can look her in the eye and say, honey, I love you. I love only you. And you can be passionate about it. And you can be enraptured with the wife of your youth. Wow, that's beautiful.
You know, Kevin, there's nothing that brings a warmer smile to my face than to see an older couple, maybe been married 50 years, walking together, holding hands. And you can see in the eyes of the wife that she adores her husband, and the husband would lay down his life at that moment and every moment for the last 50 years for that wife. That is just something special, and that is what we should be pursuing. We should be pursuing that kind of relationship.
And that's not the poverty of the Reba McEntire program. That's not the poverty of the fornicating, cheating, adultery, divorced system that this world has foisted on us. That's not the poverty of a polygamous relationship. That's the richness of a deep relationship where two really do become one. Guys, it's time to reject the moon pie, the Twinkie that the world gives us, and we need to open ourselves up for the feast that God provides us in the wife of our youth.
And we need to be enraptured with her. We need to pour out ourselves for that relationship because it is one that will feed us. It is one that will delight us. It'll one that will provoke us to good works. And we can really enjoy the goodness of God within the context of a marriage.
Folks, you can interact with this program by emailing me, Kevin at KevinSwanson.com. That's Kevin at KevinSwanson.com. If you have any input on this program or any others, please give me an email at Kevin at KevinSwanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at KevinSwanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.